Okay, good morning. We are reading from 1 Samuel chapter 9. All right, there was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bechorath, the son of Iphiath of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul, a handsome, a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. And he was a head taller than anyone else. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys." So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalisha, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shaalim, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. Well, when they reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him, "Come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us." But the servant replied, "Look, in this town, there is a man of God. He is a highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take." Saul said to his servant, "If we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered him again. "Look," he said, "I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take." Formerly in Israel, if someone went to inquire of God, they would say, "Come, let us go to the seer, because the prophet of today used to be called the seer. "Good," Saul said to his servant. "Come, let's go." So they set out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water. And they asked them, "Is the seer here?" "He is," they answered. "He's ahead of you now. Hurry. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You shall find him there about this time." They went up to the town, and as they were entering, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him a ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me." When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, "This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people." Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, "Would you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me, and in the morning I will send you on your way and will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your whole family's line?" Saul answered, "But am I not a Benjamite, from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?" Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside." So the cook took up the thigh with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, "Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you this occasion from the time I said. I have invited guests," and Saul dined with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, "Get ready. I will send you on your way." When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. And as they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go ahead of us." And the servant did so. "But you stay here for a while, so that I may give you a message from God."
You might think this message is about Saul, but it's in fact about me and it's about you. It's about everyone who's been wasting time living this life and chasing donkeys, chasing things, chasing the lost, or chasing the things that they thought they should have or could have or would have, and all of that. But this message isn't about that. It's about me. It's about you. It's about God wanting to give us something that we never thought of. It's about something that we're living this life, we're walking, we're going from one town to another, from one city to another, from one relationship to another, from one job to another, from one school to another, trying to find that thing that was lost. But God is saying, there's something completely different for you. There's something that was set aside for you. There's something that I have that you never, ever thought of. And to be honest with you, I was very hesitant. The message is on my heart for the last few days, but I was really hesitant because it's Saul. It's someone that we don't really like to talk about a lot, knowing the life he lived, knowing that after God blessed him, after God took him from being a nobody, made him the king of Israel, and then he just filled himself with pride and hate and tried to kill David and did everything that is wrong in the sight of God. So I was very hesitant, and I said, "God, can you just give me the same message but in a different story?" Like, you know, and it felt like I never read the Bible before. Every time I tried to get that same idea but in a different passage or a different story, I felt like I've never seen the Bible before. And finally, the word of God came to me is, if I did this with Saul, who I knew who is going to turn bad, okay, that means the chance is for all of us. God is giving the chance and the opportunity for all of us, and this confirms what I just said earlier, that this message isn't about Saul. This message is about you and about me. This message is about God trying to take us from what we're doing daily to what He wants us to do for the kingdom of God. Not just for today, not just for the graduation, not just for the wedding, not just for, you know, the job interview, but for eternity, for life. So before we start, why don't we just pray? Why don't we pray and ask God to give us His word? Why don't we ask God, because I really don't know much of what's going on in your life. I don't know what's happening in your heart, but He does. Even if I do know, I don't know how to fix it. I have no idea. I can't even fix my own, but I know that He does. So, Lord Jesus, I thank You this morning for Your word. I thank You for wanting to come here and meet us. I thank You for being in this room and, Lord, having a message for every single one of us. Lord, You spoke about everyone in this room. You have a plan for everyone in this room, and You will deliver that plan in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said earlier, let me put this here. As I said earlier, when I started, this is about chasing different things, you know. And when it comes, so my message is from three things, as Pastor Albert does, 3 points or three highlights, whatever you want to call it. Not that I will stick with them because I never did and I don't know how. I'm going to talk about the chasing we do. I'm going to talk about the consulting that we need to have. And then finally, if we have time, I'm going to talk about receiving our portion, which I'm sure we'll get to it, but we'll see. Chasing, you know, in our daily life, we chase things. In Acts chapter 3, there is a story that relates to me personally. It's the story of the man who was born lame from his mother's womb, and they would put him at the door of the temple to ask people for money or for whatever. That man relates so much to me personally and to so many of us, because from the day we were born, we had some deficiency, is that the word? We had something that was not right in our hearts. We had something that was not set the right way. And every day we're walking around trying to fulfill this need, whether through relationships, whether through money, whether through the society, because there is a deficiency in our heart. From the moment we were born, there was something wrong. And we keep asking for silver or gold or cars or homes or sex or drugs or alcohol or this or that to try to fulfill this need, and it's not happening. Even when we receive these things, it's not working. So he was asking based on that ruined nature. He was asking based on that nature that was just everything that is wrong in the world because of that nature. That selfish nature, that guilty nature, that lying nature, that cheating nature, all of that is forming his need. And asking him to chase silver or gold or money or sex or alcohol or whatever it is you call it, because he is chasing things because of that nature. And Paul and Peter looks at him and says, silver or gold, I have nothing to give you, but I'm going to give you something today to help you. I'm going to give you Jesus. I'm going to give you the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus will heal that broken heart. The name of Jesus will heal that broken relationship. The name of Jesus will give you what you've been asking for and what you've been looking for all of your life. That's the name of Jesus. If you chase having that name, if you start living having that name, you will be surprised that you will no longer chase the things, even if they come to you, but you will no longer need them. Because now you are a new what? New creation. You know, that man got up, took his bed, and started leaving. He is no longer lame. And that's my prayer for all of us today, that we are no longer lame. No longer lame. Chasing the silver or gold. Chasing someone to look at us and just help us. And instead, we look at the one who can help. We sometimes chase based on our defeated nature. You know, one of my favorite men of God in the Bible is Gideon. Gideon is hiding from the enemy, hiding, you know, with the things that he took aside to feed the people of God and the Israelites. He's doing something right? Something good for the rest of the people. Correct? Are you guys with me? Yeah, he was doing something good, right? But he is doing it in such sadness and defeat. You know, well, God, when the Lord came to him and says, hey, mighty man of God, what's up? What are you doing? He's like, what are you talking about? What might and what God? What are we talking about? We are defeated. We lost. We are slaves right now. We can't do anything. The enemy ruined our jobs. They ruined our farms. They ruined our animals. They took our kids. Where is God? He is so defeated. He cannot see victory at all. He is running away and hiding from the enemy when he is supposed to be fighting the enemy. No. I'm going to do something different in your life. And this is going to happen to some of us today in Jesus' name. We are going to stop living in our defeat, chasing and living life, being occupied by the last battle that I just lost. Instead, we're going to pick up our swords, we're going to pick up our shields, and we're going to start fighting again. Go with the strength you have. Go with the strength you have and save Israel. Go with the strength you have and save your family. Go with the strength you have and reconcile with your wife. Go with the strength that I'm about to give you right now and have a healthy relationship with your family members. Go with the strength that I'm about to give you right now and be effective in society. You are no longer going to hide and take a back seat to someone. You are no longer going to hide and just be, you know, neutral. Is that the word? With the enemy. But no, you're going to go attack, because that enemy that's scaring you has already been defeated at the cross. He has already been defeated. So there is no reason for you or for me to be hiding right now. There is no reason for any of us to live that life of defeat and be occupied with that last lost battle that the enemy won. Yes, he won once. Okay? But that doesn't mean he's going to win it all. That does not take the victory that happened on the cross. Yes, I fell yesterday. Yes, you might have fallen this morning, but that doesn't mean it's over for you or for me. That doesn't mean I'm going to live the rest of my life chasing things with my head down. I'm going to look up and I'm going to make the next shot. I lost the last one. I missed it, but I'm going to look up. I'm going to make the next one. And I'm going to win the next one. Amen? Chasing life based on defeat, or chasing life based on what we know and what we see. I love the story of Jesus meeting with Peter. All what he knows is to be a fisherman. That's all he knows. He knows to go at night, you know, let down the nets, catch fish, you know, eat some, sell some. That's his business. That's all he knows. But in Mark chapter 5, after Jesus spoke to the multitudes, Jesus told him, you know, let down your nets. He lets down his nets. He catches a lot of fish. And then Peter goes, you know, I'm a sinful man. Leave my boat. I don't deserve you being here. You know, and Jesus tells him this. He tells him, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. When you add Jesus to your day, when you add Jesus to your life, leave that expectation door open, okay? You might think that this is it. This is the greatest miracle that ever happened in my life, that all night long I could not fish. All my life I could not succeed at this thing. All of my life I was a failure. And now, you know, all of a sudden I have something that never happened before. I never expected before. But that's not the end. This is just the beginning for you. This is the beginning of a life full of surprises, full of things that you've never heard of. Peter was, you know, taking the fish, and that was, you know, from the sea, selling them. That's all he knew. From now on, Peter is going to be talked about for the rest of eternity. We're here talking about Peter 2,000 years later, talking about what God did in his life. Peter got inside a boat, was depending on a couple of pieces of wood. Peter one day is going to walk on water. You know, same thing that happened to Peter is going to happen to you. Just leave that expectation door open. Whether it's a failed relationship, whether it's a failed job, or it's a failed business, whatever it is that you see right now, and you feel like this is all I have, or this is all I know, leave that door wide open, because God is about to start new miracles, new season of new wonders in your life and in my life, if we just believe. If we stop chasing things with the physical eyes and start chasing things with his eyes, it will make a huge difference. Try it. Chasing things based on traditions. You know, when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, the tradition was, and this might be the meat of my message today. The tradition was for Mary and Martha, for the women at the society to do what? At that society to do what? To serve, to cook and clean and to prepare food and to do this and that. And the men are just sitting down and having a good time with Jesus. But Jesus tells her something different. You worry about too many things. Come just like your sister and enjoy some time with me. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we put tradition sometimes and let tradition occupy what we are doing in life. You know, the first people to preach about the resurrection were what? Were who? Women. Women were the first people to preach and to tell people about resurrection. Here we are, God is trying to change everything about society, about tradition, telling us, It's not what you think. Her role and his role are equal in the body of Christ. Will we dare to start doing that in the body of Christ? You know, Jesus told her, come and join me. Her traditions were telling her, cook, serve the men, clean, go to sleep. Jesus is telling her, come and have a personal relationship with me. Sorry, Elijah's game just started. Come and have a relationship with me. Come and enjoy time with me. Come because I don't want you to just cook and clean and raise the kids. I want you to have a relationship with me so when you're cooking or cleaning or working or preaching or leading Sunday school or whatever it is that you're doing or whatever ministry or whatever job that you're doing it based on a relationship with me, not based on the tradition and what the society is telling you to do. Our society right now is a little different. Some politicians use women to, you know, to gain strength in the political field. Others use women to just, you know, to sell products or whatever it is that they do. It's the same thing. It's using God's given gift to women in their own way. Same thing for men. You are not man enough unless you have this or this or that or that. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, he doesn't work with traditions. He works with what you are meant to do. And that's to be a child of God, number one, and to bring glory to his name. I feel like so many days we keep, at the end of the day, I look at, you know, we have this thing in our house. It's a verse in Psalm 90 that we go by where it says, number your days. So we say this thing, go over your day. You know, so we text each other if we're not close, or we tell each other, go over your day. And one of the challenges that I have, what did I do today because I was told to do by the society, by tradition, by where I'm living, by where I'm working, and what did I do because I felt that God was asking me to do it? You'll be surprised. If you know the ratio, you might not listen to the rest of the message and ask me to sit down. You know, but it's getting better. It's getting better, and it's going to keep getting better. But one of the main things that I worry about is traditions. One of the main things that I worry about at the end of my day, every day, is doing things because the society is telling me to do it. Occupying my mind, occupying my heart, occupying my bank account, occupying my job, occupying everything I do because of what people will say, what people will see, what the society is teaching me. Does that hit home to anyone, or is it just me? Let us not do like what Martha, worry about too many things, and instead come to the feet of Jesus. Come and hang out with him. So when we do these things, we're doing it with the flavor of Jesus. It tastes better. You know, I always tell Dina, your food tastes as if Jesus himself was cooking it. Truly. Because she has that touch of Jesus, you know, in her heart first. And it just translates somehow. And that's why I'm overweight, you know. but it's okay. It's all holy food. So we're fine. And sometimes we are occupied chasing our daily needs. Our daily needs. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to the disciples and said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but for you, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. He knows that we need it. He knows that we have daily needs. It's not a surprise. It's not something that we shouldn't talk about. No, we do have daily needs. God knows it. We all know it. That's fine. But that's not my main concern. And in another verse in Matthew 13, listen to when Jesus gave them the parable about the farmer who went out and some seeds fell on the rocks, some seeds fell on... Listen to this. It says, the seeds falling among the thorns refer to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is when we chase life, when we live life chasing just, I want to make ends meet. God has given us a word. God has given us a promise. God has given us a life that's worth living. But instead, when we hear that, the worry of life, the worry of the things of life, choke this word, making it unfruitful. He went out chasing donkeys. He came back a king. What are you chasing today? And which mentality, or which, what is sitting up your mind while you're chasing today? Is it the defeat you had and you're feeling like there is no way for me to overcome this? Let me tell you, in Jesus' name, you will overcome it. Are you still chasing life because of your daily needs? Because if you ask for Him first and not worry about the rest of your needs, He will take care of it. Are you chasing based on your old broken nature, thinking that all I need is just a stable job, a nice husband, a nice wife, and a house? That's just what the nature tells you. What you need is Jesus Himself. So when these things come, you actually know how to deal with them. What you need today is Jesus. And then they keep looking and looking and looking. Do they find anything? Hello? Do they find anything? No. You guys awake? They don't find anything. So they get to a place called Zoph or Zeph, you know, and they found nothing. After a few days of chasing, after a few years of chasing and looking, after a few, I don't know, relationships, after a few jobs, whatever you want to call it, it's completely up to you. They finally get to a place where they found nothing. And if you're in this place, congrats. This is the most wonderful place. When you're all depressed, when you feel like slitting your wrist, when you feel like this is not working, when you feel like all hope is lost. And not just that, but now I'm worrying my father back home, or I'm worrying my wife back home, or I'm worrying my children back home, or I'm worrying some people and I'm causing pain to other people. If you're in this place, congrats, this is a wonderful place. Because here is the word for you, there is a God. The servant looks at Saul and tells him, wait a second, in this city, in this place, there is a what? A man of God. But I'm not telling you that there's a man of God. I'm telling you there is a God. I'm telling you that there is a God who appointed Himself as your father, who would like to have that relationship with you, who wants to bless you, who wants to direct you, who wants to give you guidance. Are you willing to go a little bit further to talk to Him? Because if you are, you will find out that He's actually on His way to talk to you. We need to ask God. We need to seek God. We need to seek God and His strength when we are failing. We need to seek God when we are tired and weary. We need to seek God and so He can restore the joy back to us. We need to seek God so He can restore the life that was meant to be back to us. We need to seek God because He promised that if you seek Me, seek Me with all of your heart, I will be what? I'll be found. We need to seek God. He said, there is a man of God. I'm telling you, there is a God. And if you can just look at someone next to you and say, there is a God. Oh, I'm not convinced. That is weak. You guys are weak. Come on. Look at someone and tell them there is a God. Zadrian, there is a God, man. That's right, baby. Joy. I'm keeping an eye on you. Last message, you were not here at all. So anyway, it's something about when I preach, joy just phases out. So there is a God. There is a God. And if we just dare to talk to Him, there is a God. And if we just dare to go take a step to Him and stop worrying and stop doing the things that we've been doing for the last few days, and we stop looking and ask for His guidance, we might be surprised. So they say there is a God. And once you meet with God, listen to this. Listen to this. They go and start seeking God. And the first thing, the man of God. Okay, we'll get to our portion later. So Saul and his servant, they said, okay, fine, let's go find God. Let's find the man of God. They find a bunch of what? Women coming, okay, and they say, we heard that there is a seer here, and we'll talk about that later. We heard that there is a man of God here. Where can we find him? And who tells them where the man of God is? The women tell him where the man of God is. They tell him, hurry. He is here because there is a what? A sacrifice. And he is participating in that sacrifice. And after that, he's going to go back to the high place. Here is Saul learning about what? A sacrifice that was made. Here he is learning about the sacrifice that was given. Here we are, when we come and meet God and when we decide to stop chasing and we stop looking and tell him, Lord, we have failed. All of our options are gone. I have no more places to look. I cannot even look. There is a sacrifice. That sacrifice, where's the cross? I keep looking back. There is a cross where a sacrifice was made. Our first meeting with God, we will find out that there is a sacrifice. That sacrifice that reconciled, the one that they had at that time was the sacrifice of peace, peace between God and man. And that sacrifice based on what? On the cross. What created peace between God and man? The cross. There is a sacrifice that was made. When you come to God, there is a sacrifice that was made. God is no longer looking at you, seeing all the sins that you committed all of your life. When God is looking at me right now, he's not looking at what I've done from the day I was born. He's looking at the blood of Jesus on the cross that covers me and sees only Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. There is a sacrifice that was given. Are you aware of that sacrifice? Are you aware that that sacrifice made peace between you and God? And let me see where it is. There was a verse I really like. Can't find it, but I'm sure I will find it. I'm going to find the verse. I know it in Arabic, but you know, in English it's a little different. Here it is, Galatians 1. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked work, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. You know, we were wicked. We were filthy. We were dirty. And Jesus came and died on that cross. So when we are represented to God, we are represented without any blame, without any sin. There is a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice that one paid the price for all. There is a sacrifice that the innocent paid the price of the guilty. There is a sacrifice that based on that sacrifice, you will receive the portion that is kept for you. The servant told him, let's go meet God. The women told him that there was a sacrifice and the man of God is coming back from that sacrifice. But here's the question. Do we want to see the prophet or we want to see the seer? Because there is a big difference. At that time, when Israel completely away from God, somehow they turned the word prophet to the word seer. A prophet was the man telling you God's word, like telling you the whole story from A to Z, your past, your present, your future, God's thoughts, God's love, God, everything about God, the prophet is delivering it to you. But Israel had only one concern. We just need a seer. Seer. We just need someone to tell us the future. Should I date this guy or not? Should I buy this house or not? Should I take this job or not? Like, if we even know what to do, we're actually going to be able to do it. You know, great man of God woke up one day and he said, hey, that's not right. My people are struggling in the land of Egypt. Let me go out and deliver them. Great idea, Moses. Go ahead. Let's see what you're going to do. He ended up killing people He ended up being a fugitive. He ended up living in the wilderness because he wanted to do something good, but he doesn't have the ability to do it. But when God came to him and said, go and deliver my people, that's a totally different story. People of Israel at that time, they weren't looking for a relationship with God. They just wanted a navigation system. They just wanted someone to tell them where to, what to do next. They're not looking for someone to accompany them on that journey called life. They wanted a seer, not a prophet. Just like they wanted a king, not God himself. People of Israel chose and changed the prophet into a seer. And do you feel like we do that sometimes? All I want from God is just, Lord, show me your will. Okay, here is my will. Live for me daily. No. I mean like show me your will. Yeah, live for me daily. No, I mean like show me your will. Like, you know, should I date this guy or not? Should I take this job or not? Should I? Okay, what if I tell you again? Will you be able to do that job the way you're supposed to do it? Were you able to protect this relationship and have a holy relationship? Will you be able to do these things without me? See, we want to know what to do, but we don't want to take God while we're doing it. That's when we turn the prophet into a seer. That's when we turn a relationship with God into just give me this and I will handle the rest. Lord, give me that big salary that I want. Great, here it is. What are you going to do with it? Lord, give me that wife I want. Great, here she is. What are you going to do? You still need me. You still need me. You still need that relationship with God. I still need that relationship with God. So when He blesses me with gifts, He knows how to manage it for me. But if He blesses me with a gift and I don't have Him managing that gift, it's going to turn into a curse. And here's a new revelation for you. They were so worried that they actually almost didn't make it to the man of God. You know why? Because they didn't have anything to give him. They looked at each other. Saul is looking at his servant and saying, I have nothing to give him. The food is gone. The money almost gone. What would we give the man of God so he can tell us what to do or which way to go? And do you know that a lot of us still do that? That we feel like we have to pay God to bless us. We feel like we have to pay God to please Him. We have to do something to God. We have to take something to God. But here we know, we learn that when you come to God, it's not what you're going to give Him. It's what He has for you already. It's not what you are going to offer Him. It's what He already had in mind to offer you. A new revelation about God today, He's not waiting for your dollar. A new revelation from God today, He's not waiting for what you're going to offer Him. And your revelation is He would like to participate in work with you, but you with Him, not the other way around. He would like to take you on that journey. It's not because of the talent you have that He gave you, by the way, but it's because it's with what He can do through that talent. And then they go and they meet Samuel. And I want you guys to be awake with me right now because you're going to talk to each other. And once they meet Samuel, listen to this. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I spoke to you about. Look at someone next to you and say, this is the man or this is the woman I spoke to you about. So weak. So weak. I'm not convinced. Come on, guys. Say it one more time. This is the man I spoke to you about. This is the man I spoke to you about. This is the woman I spoke to you about. There you go. You know that you have been spoken about. You know that God spoke about you to someone. You know that He spoke about you before you were even born. You know that He already had an amazing plan for you before your parents were even born, before your grandparents, before anyone was even existed. God had already spoken about you. God already set you for a great plan. God already set you with a great life. God already set you with a great man or woman. God already had it all set up for you. He already spoken about you. Saul comes looking for donkeys. He finds the prophet of God. Oh, I know who you are. You don't need to find me. I am looking for you. If you think that you're trying to look for God, if you're thinking like you're trying to find God, guess what? He's been trying to find you. He's been the way, like that knocking that you hear, that's not you doing the knocking. He's been doing the knocking. He's hoping for you to open. He's been at your doors all of your life asking you to open because he's spoken about you. That was one of my biggest struggles to believe. Because I always felt like when I sin, I have to go at the doors of God and keep knocking. And he's going to say, let him knock a little bit more. He messed up this time. This sin was bigger than the other one, so he might have to wait like an hour longer until he was the one that was doing the knocking. He's going to find Samuel, but Samuel is trying to find him. You're trying to find God, and you're missing him because he's trying to find you. Because you're trying to find God in religion. Because you're trying to find God in even church. You're trying to find God in a miracle. You're trying to find God in something. And he could show himself in all these places. He could, and he would. But you know what? If you just open your heart, he's speaking to you right now, telling you, I have spoken about you. I have been looking for you. You're the one. You're the one. Oh, yeah, I chose you. I pick you. I want you. You know, this morning I got a call from Dina. She's at a game with Elijah, and he's a new coach. He's a high school coach, very well known, very well respected. He tells Dina, "I want your son to play for me. For Ride, I just want him to play for me." He's far away, but so we're not considering. But anyway, he's like, I've been telling your husband, I want this kid. I want this kid. I want this kid. As parents, it made us so proud that a respected coach wants our son to go play for him. How much more do you think we should be proud that God, the Almighty God, is pointing the finger and saying, I want him. I want her. I want them to be with me. Do you guys ever watch the draft, like NFL, NBA? You see the joy at these players when they're picked by someone, by a team? You see the joy they have and their families, all of their hard work, all of these years, and finally someone is picking them. It's such a good feeling to be picked, right? This is God pointing at Saul, telling him, I want you. You're the one that's chosen. You're the one that's chosen for this job. You're the one that's chosen to bless this area. You're the one that's chosen to bless this family. You're the one that's chosen to bless these children. You're the one that's chosen to live this life. Do you believe that? I want to believe it. I want to live believing that. That I was picked by God. He tells him, I've been looking for you. You are, God tells him that this is the man. In 1 Peter 2:9, one of my favorite verses that says, but you are a chosen generation, special people. You guys are very, very special. If you're listening to this message today, you are very, very, very special. You are the chosen people. And God is pointing the finger and saying, yes, you, I have been looking for you. Come to the high place. Come to a place where you thought you would never be. Come to a place where it's no longer the donkeys and it's no longer this or that. Come to the high place and let me tell you, the donkeys, what you've been worrying about, they've been found already. Let me tell you, what you've been worried about for the last few days, those bills, those invoices, those calls, those emails, whatever it is, they've been taken care of already. It's been taken care of already. It's been found. Come to the high place. Leave what you've been looking for behind. Come to the high place. Your needs are already fulfilled. Your needs are already taken care of. Come to the high place. Hang out with God. Come take a look at what he has for you. And when you come up as a Benjamite. That's fine. Saul looks at him and is like, are you talking to me? I'm a Benjamite. This was the smallest, most hated tribe in Israel. They had just lost 25,000 men in a battle and not very peaceful with other tribes, not very well liked, not very popular, people don't desire to have a relationship with a Benjamite. Come to the high place as a Benjamite. Come to the high place as you are. Because guess what? There was a sacrifice. There was a sacrifice. So you're not going up as a Benjamite. You're coming up covered with the blood of Jesus. You're coming up covered of that full and complete work on the cross that says it is finished. Come as a Benjamite. Come and no longer worry about what you lost. Come and no longer worry about what you don't have. Come and no longer worry about what others might think of you, because the high place is different. The high place is where you and God will meet face to face. Come and take what's been kept for you. I love this verse. You know that piece, you know, so when they go up, Samuel looks at the cook and says, bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside. So the cook took up the thigh with what's on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, here is what's been kept for you. Eat. Because it was set aside. How many times do you hear the word kept, set aside, kept, set aside? If you've been looking for that cartoon character called Prince Charming, stop that. Because God has a man of God, not a little Prince Charming for you, waiting, set aside for you. Seriously, if you're looking for the next Nicki Minaj or Kim Kardashian or whatever it is that you've been looking for, please stop. Because you have a queen set aside for you. Okay, so stop that. If you've been looking for a house or a job or whatever it is, God has it figured out and it's already been set aside for you. Stop looking. God had it set aside for you. So he said, it was set aside for you for this occasion from that time I said. It's been kept for this occasion. That piece of meat was actually meant, if you go back to Exodus 29 and to verse 27, that specific piece of meat was kept for the priests. That was kept for the people who are about to serve. These are kept for the chosen people who are representing God. Are you willing to take that piece? It looks delicious. I would see this on a barbecue and I would just lose my mind. It's amazing, right? But it's kept and it comes with a price. Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to lead the people of God to God? The high place is his place. So when you come to the high place, it cannot be, I have to do my will. It will have to, you know, copy John and say, he may what? Increase. And I may what? Decrease. When you come to the high place, there is a lot set aside for you. But you have to realize and you have to remember that this is God's place. It's his place. It's going to be his word. Not because he's some kind of dictatorship. It's because he loves you and he knows what's best for you. He comes to the high place. He takes his portion. And then he tells them in chapter 10. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, It's not because the Lord anointed you commander over his inheritance. God anointed you. God put you in that place where you are right now to command. God put you in that place to lead. God put you in that place to save. God put you in that place for a reason, for a plan. Stop chasing the donkeys. Let's pray. Take a few minutes. I know it's hot, but just take a few minutes and just search your heart and ask God to show you what have you been chasing And with what mentality have you been chasing them? Is it the mentality of defeat? Is it the old nature? Is it the worry of the daily things? Is it the mentality of traditions? What have you been chasing? Is it your physical needs? Is it your psychological, mental needs? Whatever it is that you've been chasing, come to Zaf. Come to the place where you realize it cannot be found. Come to the place when you realize it's not going to be found. Even if it's found, it's not going to fulfill you. Come to the place where you know that there is a God and come consult with Him. Come consult with God, the one who redeemed us. Revelation 1:6, the one who redeemed us, paid the high price for us, and made us into a kingdom and priests. Come to the high place with God. Come to the high place. Do not be shy. You're not coming as you are. You're coming covered with the blood of Jesus. Come to the high place, because when He decided to come down to earth and die for you, He knew exactly what He's doing and for whom He is doing it. He knew your sin. He knew your sin. And still loved you. And still pointed the finger at you and said, "That's the one I've been talking about. That's the one I have spoken about. That's the one I'm choosing today. That's my pick. That's my first pick. Right there, that's my first pick." God is picking you today. He's choosing you today. He's telling everyone. He is telling everyone. He is not shy to tell everyone that this is my pick. Even if you've never been chosen before by anyone or anything, even if you've had many times where you were overlooked, today is your day to be chosen, not by a team, not by a coach, not by a job, not by a human being, but today you're being chosen by the Almighty God, the Lord of Lords, who knows exactly what He's doing. He's choosing you regardless of what you think of yourself. He is choosing you. He is leaving the 99 behind and coming chasing after you. You thought you've been chasing Him? You're wrong. He's been the one that's doing the chasing. Your portion has been set. Don't worry. Your portion has been set aside. You will have it. You will have it. Just come to the high place. Just come to the high place. Surrender all to Him. Give it all to Him. And you will receive your portion. Lord, shed your lights today. Shed your light in our hearts. Lord, show us what's been occupying our hearts and our minds. Show us that we can keep looking for the rest of our lives and we're not going to find it. And we're going to waste time and we sometimes waste lives trying to find it. Lord, help us open our eyes that there is a God. There is a God among us. There is a God among us who wants to take over.